But here we go tonight. Part two, we're looking at what to do with this Paul guy. Because, you know, we hear about Jesus all the time from Christians. And we mention the word Paul, and they think we're nuts. They think we're part of the hyper crowd, if they're Bible people at all. They say they don't know what we're talking about, if it's anybody else. And, you know, after a while it gets to be where we know that the rapture is coming based on the fact whether people want to hear Paul's teaching about the goodness of God anymore. And they don't. So I guess we should be looking forward to the fact that, well, maybe this isn't going to be that much longer after all. Yeah, we're in a cult or whatever. Or it's that Paulson guy, you know. He stirs things up. He just ruins your life and blah, 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 blah. You know, you get accused of being the Holy Spirit. No, I'm reading you the Bible says. If you don't like what I say, I'm reading the Bible. You know, sure, accusing me of being your Holy Spirit. How dense are you to think that I'd be even near being your Holy Spirit? Then again, there are people that are doing things that is so obvious that you shouldn't be doing it. That no matter what you tell them, it's not going to make any difference anyway. So let's just get into this thing. What we did this morning, what do you do with this guy, Paul, that you read about in your Bible? Well, we'll see. Now there you go. Birthday today. So we don't do this at night. I have to bleep this out, I suppose. There are so many things that come up. Remember, there's that thing, and I think it's in Acts. I'm not sure where it's at, where Paul says, "I would have come there, but Satan hindered me." And that's true. I mean, yes, God wants you to hear it. Yes, God wants you to be there, but you know what? He's not going to make you, and the devil's going to keep you from hearing what he knows you need to hear, or something like that. I don't know. This timing is just excellent. I was wishing for a full crowd this morning, not because it's a great sermon, but the stuff was just there. We went over this. What to do with this guy, Paul? Well, let's believe him. That was the first point. Let's not believe on him. Let's not believe in him. Let's just believe what he says, believe him. He's our apostle. He's apostle to the uncircumcision. He gives us warnings. Why do we not heed his warnings? Why do we not avoid and withdraw those who we're supposed to? Because we're men pleasers, we look at this morning. We're not God pleasers, we're men pleasers. You want to please your husband. You want to please your wife. Who do you love more, your kids or God? Now sometimes that's a really awkward, unfair statement, because Paul says we're supposed to take care of our wives and take care of our husbands. But let's believe him. He's in our King James Bible, so why not believe him? Why did he divide that thing? Now, I did leave out a couple of verses this morning I was going to read to show that there are people that believe in Paul, what he says. But most of the verses are tying in the fact that they believe in Jesus and on Jesus. I mean, that's believe in Christ. That's not my issue here. The question is do we believe what Paul says? Have you read what Paul says? If you have, what's wrong? What's the problem here? Why are we exhibiting such stubbornness or such frustration? Or why do we go through those things? Don't we believe what Paul said? And like here's a verse. He says, "When he should come to be glorified in the saints," this is in Thessalonians, "and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed." So it talks about believers, but they became a believer because they believed the Paul stuff from his people. So I included the notes, the references, and the notes that will be online here pretty soon. But let's believe Paul, what he says. Point number two was to trust him to be telling the truth from the risen Savior. Then we looked at all these verses where it talks about that Paul and Jesus Christ met face to face. Revelation was revealed to him and the whole thing. there's those verses. So we can trust that what Paul is saying. And I'm not putting our trust in Paul for our salvation. I'm not saying to believe in Paul first. I'm talking about believing what Paul says, and let's trust what he says is what the risen Savior told us. Does it sound okay out there? Okay. Point number three we made this morning was know where to find Paul. Well, sure, 1 Corinthians 13:10 in the King James Bible. But it has to be a rightly divided King James Bible. You find Paul right there. Every one of his books begins with the word Paul. And we looked at the verse 1 Corinthians 4:17, which says every church should be teaching Paul's ways. You know, you can't go to church today. You can't go to a local church assembly today, hardly anywhere. Out here in South Dakota, zero zilch. and find a church that's preaching Paul like he should be preached. These guys will mention Paul. Remember I said they'll mention the little verse in Timothy where you have to be the husband of one wife. That's all they talk about. They wouldn't dare get into chapter 2 when it comes to the women, their modesty and their quietness and their that kind of thing. Wouldn't dare get into chapter 5, talks about them working. Wouldn't dare get into Ephesians 4 and 5, 6, 7, 8, telling men to grow up. Wouldn't dare go into Titus chapter 2. Wouldn't dare. That's the stuff that's supposed to be preached in the churches. The churches today are trying to win people's soul to Jesus, and all they're doing is they're setting up the Antichrist world, the world government, the world religion for the Antichrist. It's as plain as can be. You'll never see it unless you look at Paul, though. Then we went into part 4, where it said, okay, believe him, trust him to be telling the truth from the risen Savior. Know where to find Paul only. Paul only. You don't mix him with Gospels and Peter. You can't. It's not to be done. They don't match. And then learn from him. Learn his doctrine. Learn his manner of life. You can learn how to please God. How to open your eyes. Turn from darkness to light. What's this about forgiveness versus remission? What about this inheritance? The riches of understanding. The peace of God, the peace from God, the peace with God, and the God of peace. Then we can learn about sin and sinning. Now it's no longer sins, it's just bad works, and it'll be judged in the judgment seat of Christ. Christ took care of our sin. Took care of sin, period. Oh, I could just go on with this stuff. And then lastly, we talked about studying his writings. Those are his books. Study them. Don't just read through them. Don't let somebody else tell you about them. Is your interest perked enough by now that you're trying to be studying this stuff? You come home, what do? Crack that book open and start digging. It's worth a proper marriage. It's worth children being taught the right stuff instead of this folly of modern religion. Study his writings. Romans 2:16 said our works will be judged by his gospel. Rightly dividing is based on Paul's books. Sound words, hold fast. Sound doctrine. With authority, preach those things. Preaching out of Titus, Romans 16, that we're to be listening to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the mystery, according to Paul. So we should be studying his writings. I think that Christianity is just playing a game off, and we know that's a folly. But to Paul people, just how serious are we as we're making decisions in our life? We all toss it out for money. We all toss it out for happiness. We all toss it out to make somebody else a pleaser thing. I see it. I hear it. We fight our flesh all the time. Okay, so that was this morning. Let's look at tonight now. Point number six. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Number six is understand. What are we going to do with this guy Paul? Well, let's understand the dispensation that he defines, that he preaches about. Let's understand that dispensation, that time. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Then he says, which is given me to you word. So Paul is the man who's going to teach us the dispensation of the grace of God. Now we need to understand that thing. We've got Christians out there, Paul-following Christians, the mid-Acts crowd, the hyper crowd, you know, the Bullinger bunch, all those people out there. They tend to think this is the dispensation of grace. Wear what you want, listen to the kind of music you want, do what you want, marry who you want. You want to have kids or not? I mean, just go out there and just have a party. No, grace is there to back us up when we stumble. Grace is not there for us to abuse and just do what we want. Point number one, all things are lawful, right? He took care of law for righteousness. We know all that stuff. But you know there's still strings attached. Not to cause someone to stumble, not to do it for your flesh, but you know, there's five of those things. I hope you know what they are by now. And if you don't know what they are, people out there in the website listening later on here, don't be afraid to ask. Number three. Another part of this point number six is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We receive in this dispensation of grace, we receive spiritual blessings, not the physical blessings. Physical blessings based on our walk, on our confession, and on communion, Lord's Supper type stuff. Otherwise, you're sick and going to die. That's bogus if it's taught during the dispensation of grace. But we receive spiritual blessings. Major spiritual blessings. You can't even understand them. They're so marvelous. Then we also see that Paul tells us there's some things we must avoid. Sure, this is a dispensation of the grace of God, but there's strings attached to that lawful. There's strings attached to that grace. It's not physical blessings, they're spiritual blessings. Then he says, we have to avoid some people. Really? Yeah. Why? This is the dispensation of grace. Because something can come back and get you. Something can get your kids. Something can harm you. He tells us to have no company. He tells us to withdraw from such. There are warnings in this dispensation of grace that if we understand what these warnings are, this just isn't a time to party hardy with grace. The judgment seat of Christ is the next thing we're all going to see. We get a chance to prepare for it now. Now, in the notes, I have in the notes there a couple of verses that talk about beware, and I got the verses that talk about take heed. Take heed with what? What do we have to watch out for? And maybe I'll just be so burdened by this whole thing, I'll go back and I'll do some of these sections, and we'll talk about those verses. But I encourage you to look them up and see what they say. He warns us. If this dispensation of grace is so grace, like who cares? God's got it covered. Then why does Paul warn us? And what does he warn us about? Can any of us right now, without using our Bibles, do we just know in our automatic brain here who Paul has told us to avoid, withdraw, and have no company with? Do we know who those people are? Do we know those warnings of beware? Beware of what? Paul's telling us to beware. Do you know what they are? How about where he says to take heed? In other words, listen to me and be careful with such and such. Do you know what those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things are? Just off your head? Then how are we supposed to know what to beware of? How are we supposed to know what to take heed with? How are we supposed to know who we are to avoid and have no company with if we don't know them? We get caught up in this grace, don't we? You go to these grace churches and look at them. Listen to their music. Look at the structure. They're becoming a denomination. They're becoming a denomination of do what you want. This is age of grace. This is, they would say, the age of grace. It's not right at all like that. Paul is serious about the walk for Christians today. He's serious. It's not just doctrinal stuff about joy and peace and imputation and spiritual circumcision. He's very concerned about our walk. He doesn't want you ladies doing what almost every lady in town is doing anymore. He doesn't want the men to be the way we are today. He doesn't want us to be that way. He doesn't want us to have us hang around those people. If they don't want to hear this stuff, you're not supposed to hang around them. I won't have any friends. That's the way it is. He tells you who to marry. He tells you about children. He tells you what to do for your children for school. The practicality's there. I just don't understand why people just ignore it. I know why. Because we have grace. We're using the goodness of God to hide behind while we go off and do our own thing. We've got parents that are dropping the ball something fierce. We've got husbands that are worthless. Wives that are out of control of their power and their worthlessness. We're a mess. Well, of course we're a mess. It says there's going to be a falling away. Why wouldn't there be a mess? Yeah, but that doesn't mean we need to enjoy the mess ourselves. Point number 7. What are we going to do with this guy, Paul? Well, let's follow him. But I have to throw the word only in there. See, when you talk to people, well, we follow Paul. Oh, so do we. So do we. Yes, Timothy. Yeah, those books in Ephesians. Yeah, we follow Paul too. Oh, we also follow Peter. Well, we look to John all the time. Hebrews is a tough book because I got to follow my pastor. I can lose my salvation according to Hebrews chapter 6. And Jude and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Oh, I got to be a good Christian according to 1st John. No, you're not following Paul only. Hebrews to Jude don't match what Paul teaches from his Romans to Philemon. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Acts 1-8 doesn't match what Paul teaches. And Galatians 1 tells us if whatever doctrine is being taught doesn't match with what Paul teaches, then let him be accursed. We're studying cursed teachings from people that have no, they're destitute of the truth. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We have people, we have friends that they follow the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2. No, that's not the way that we've been over that. We've got Paul, look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. Philippians 3, 7, if it's the right verse anyway. Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What a thing. How much stuff are we gaining that's going to burn in the judgment seat and it's nothing about Christ? I know, that's just how life has always been. Yeah, but this scripture ought to wake us up a little bit to that stuff. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. So that ye were in samples to that to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. To make ourselves an ensample unto you to follow us. So Paul's teachings and the people that grab a hold of Paul's teachings and his helpers in Romans chapter 16, there are ensamples. Not example, but ensample. And just like Paul is, we are to be the same thing to somebody else. Now I've got a bunch of verses on here that in the notes that you'll see that what does it say in the Gospels about follow? Well, you got to give up your everything you got. You got to bear your burden and carry your cross and follow Christ. It's different. First Peter tells everybody that we're supposed to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Paul doesn't teach us that. So you can compare those verses. I have those included in the notes there. Paul is our apostle. We're to follow Paul. It's that simple. How about number eight? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Number 8 is, be not ashamed of him. And there's just one verse I'm going to show on this one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. When you find it, I sure hope that your Bible is marked with it somehow. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, and you know I say this 1,000 times, the testimony of our Lord includes the Old Testament when he was done with Moses. It includes creation, that's him in Ephesians chapter 3. It includes the Gospels when he's on this earth. It includes Acts chapter 1 through 8 with the Great Commission. It includes the Tribulation books, Hebrews to Jude. That's the testimony of the Lord. Do you know how to rightly divide the testimony of the Lord? Because now, as the risen Savior, he's teaching us things through Paul. And so I'm not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. That's Paul. But why are we so afraid to mention the word Paul to somebody? Because they're probably not going to believe you. We get tired of rejection. I get tired of being rejected. I get tired of being ignored. I really do. It's one of my buttons, I think it is. But I'm not ashamed of Paul. These people that believe some of the things they believe, they wouldn't believe that stuff if they hadn't gotten it from Paul. So why don't they just stick with Paul? That's where the risen Savior's at. So I got on the side of my notes here, I got a couple of references here for Jesus, not to be ashamed of Jesus. Nobody's ashamed of that. But there's also a number of verses here that we're not supposed to be ashamed of Paul. The Bible is our authority. Final authority, only authority. Well, let's go on to number 9. Oh, just for those that panic, I only have 10 points tonight. So friend number 9, wow, we're going to get down early. Yeah, we'll see. Number 9. Let's review them. What do we got here? Believe what Paul says. Believe him. Trust him to be telling the truth from the risen Savior. Know where to find Paul in a church in the King James Bible. Learn from him. Study his writings. Understand the dispensation that he's teaching. Number 7, follow him only. You can't follow everybody. It doesn't work. Number 8, be not ashamed of him. Don't be afraid to mention the word. These guys mention Jesus Christ all the time. Jesus, God. Why can't we mention Paul? And then number 9, we need to accept the consequences that come from Paul only. When we realize that we're looking to Paul only for a practical doctrine, etc., then be ready to accept the consequences. Well, what are the consequences? Well, Acts 26. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26, 18. Some of the consequences from looking to Paul are good consequences. Because Acts 26, 18 talks about turning. Open your eyes and turn from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So, we have a changed life. Our life is just going to change. 1 Thessalonians, I think it is, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, says that these people did. Let's see if you can find this. See if I got the right reference here. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Turn to God from idols. That's a turn. That's a change in their life. Consequences of studying and learning Paul is it'll change your life. Romans chapter 8 talks about you can please God. You couldn't please God before you understood what Paul's teaching. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says the same thing. However, there are other consequences, and besides that, having your life changed is probably going to make somebody mad anyway. I know too many young people who wanted to get fired up for Paul, and their parents fought it and fought it and fought it. And one of these days I'm going to preach a sermon on those parents. It's amazing. They're envious. Anybody? What? Only by pride cometh contention, the Bible says. The only thing that makes us argue is pride. And you think about it, who's chipping away at your pride? Who's attacking you? Who's knocking you down? Who's affecting your pride? Well, he is. Now, how about you? How about your pride is making yourself so stubborn that you don't want to do the right thing? We're all guilty. So what are we going to do about it? We don't have to do anything because we're in the dispensation of grace. Oh, so you're doing it for the flesh. You can't stop it. You're running and hiding. Is it expedient? Is it the right thing to do? No, but you know, I we're spoiled with this grace, aren't we? We are. We're just spoiled with grace. But also with Paul, I got a bunch of verses on these things here. We got persecution. There's deceivers out there that are deceiving us, and if you're so smitten with something that you're deceivable, Paul will straighten that out, but you won't let him. Maybe because the custom comes from somebody else instead of just you and your Bible reading, but you probably haven't had time to read your Bible, right? So when the preacher gets up there and says these things, you're mad. That's pride. It just goes on. You know, if you follow Paul only, you won't be going to local church much longer. If you care what Paul preaches and teaches, because that's one of the bunches he tells us to have no company with, from such withdraw. You won't have a pastor anymore. There's hardly anybody out there preaching this stuff. They're out there, no doubt. But on the average, you're going to lose your pastor. Well, I like the guy, I know, but the guy's lying to you. He's teaching you the Gospels of what you need to study. He's teaching out of Hebrews. He's teaching you out of Peter, putting a guilt trip on you. He's teaching out of the first part of Acts. He's teaching some wrong things out of Timothy's book, or he's just picking and choosing out of Paul's books. He's going back to the Old Testament for family life example, illustration, and samples from the Old Testament. Jacob, all that kind of stuff. We're not Jews. We're not Old Testament. Consequences of Paul, you're going to be dealing with liars, and you're going to have to realize that they're liars. You're going to deal with mocking people. They're going to laugh at you if you believe in Paul. You're going to lose your best friends. Well, that's pretty bleak. Well, maybe it's because of how we go about it. But I know some people aren't going about it at all, and they have good friends. But once they bring it up, their friends are gone. How many marriages were destroyed by Paul's teachings? I can name some. One of them would get the Paul thing, the other one wouldn't. We got a major clash. Major clash. Paul says, listen, if the husband or the wife is under, and yet they still allow you to be the Christian you want to be, you know, dress right, talk right, whatever, depending upon who you are, then Paul says, stay with it. But if he doesn't or she doesn't want to let you live the way God would have you to live as a Christian, looking at Paul's books, he says you can go. Divorce is a horrible thing. Divorce will destroy your children. I can't imagine going through a divorce. But if it creates peace in your home, then you do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Yeah, pretty wild stuff. Consequences of Paul. Your children getting a hold of Paul? Maybe you're getting a hold of Paul and your children aren't. What do? You avoid them? Well, you really can't do that. They're your children. Unless they're old enough. No, I don't know. I could just go on to this stuff. I got verses here for that stuff. No, they're just on your line. They'll be online in the notes here. And then this last one, number 10. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, it's interesting the times we're living in. They're really bad. Well, we're not like having a world war. Everybody, all the men are being killed, and well, that's true. We're past the Vietnam thing, but the world is totally falling apart. Economy is a disaster. America, the president, the government, the Congress, for all these years, freedoms are gone. You know where a guy could go with this stuff. It's a mess. And yet, again, let's look it up. I said to turn to 2 Thessalonians. Keep your hand in 2 Thessalonians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 4. Paul tells us that we can be perplexed. But we don't need to be in despair. He says that we can be troubled, but not distressed. My point number 10 is this. Paul tells us how to handle life today. He does. He tells us how to handle life today. Sorry about that. We have a tendency, I hear it more and more, we know people are tired of the Bible. And we know that the economy is bad, the Bilderbergers, the freedoms are going, the state laws are going, taxes, you know, the whole list mile long. And yet, and there's DVD programs, there's Bible studies, there's cassettes, there's books, by the tons. That tells everybody what's going wrong today. But nobody is telling people how to live through these days. This is not the tribulation. You go to Hebrews through Jude to find out how to live during the tribulation. How do you live during this apostasy, as we call it, the falling away? How do we do that? We learn from Paul. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Instead of giving people all these books and trying to perk their interest with gold and all this kind of stuff, they still need to just hear from God, the risen Savior, Paul, and the King James Bible. Politics is just, it's irritating. It's the same people doing the same stuff. It's just, it's corrupt. It's been corrupt for years. Somebody told me the other day that this corruptness of America's government system goes back to Jackson. No, Jefferson. It was back to Jefferson. Well, whatever. Understanding that, is it going to change? No. We need to learn from Paul how to live during these ridiculously stupid times. Gas, $4 to $5 a gallon, and we could drill our own oil in America, and it wouldn't even cost hardly anything. You know, so what are you going to do? Vote for the right guy? Like that's going to happen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, which will happen with us, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. When the Lord comes back, read Revelation chapter 19, it's really going to be rough. I mean, it's really going to be rough. Read about it. Revelation chapter 4 to 19. Read Daniel. It's terrible. And we are all acting like we're waiting for it's that bad out. No, what we're doing in America is we're losing our gods. We're losing our God of money. We're losing our God of comfort. And he says, listen, don't be shaken in mind or be troubled. He says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. So the coming of Christ is not going to happen until there's a falling away. So we have to go through this falling away. We have to. You can vote against it. You can preach against it. But you need to be preaching just the truth of what this King James Bible will do for you. Paul tells us how to live during this falling away time. He gives us the details in the rest of that chapter. Now look at verse 13. You can read 4 through 12. That's where they're going to be deceived in lying wonders and the whole spiel. And if you haven't read it, you need to read it. And if you haven't read it, you know you need to read it. Then you need to take the time to study it. You need to sit down on your couch, put your toys away, and read this stuff to see what to do. Especially if you're the man, because you're supposed to lead your family this way, not the wife. He says in verse 13, he starts off with this great word, but we are bound to give thanks. We, meaning Paul's people, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Oh, is this that election stuff? No, keep reading the whole thing. Chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. People today are not given the truth to believe. They're told what's wrong. They need to get back to God. They need to get back to whichever Bible they want. It's like the AA crowd. Get whatever is God to you is your power in your life. Well, that's baloney. He says in verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel, that's Paul, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we can obtain. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. That's what Paul's life is all about. Which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. He says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comma, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. I've got stuff going on in my life that is really troubling me. It just troubles me to no end. And I like to think that those involved would fix it. I don't see it's going to happen. I've got to still look at what Paul preaches here. Come on, give thanks. Stand fast. Hold on to Paul, what he teaches and shows us in our life. Comfort your hearts. Establish you in every good word and work. Okay, so somebody else wants to do it right, you do it right. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Just go back a notch or two there. 1 Thessalonians 4. He says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Well, what words are those? Goes back and talks about the rapture the last four or five verses before that. So many people don't believe in the rapture anymore. They don't believe it's going to happen. As we learn from Paul, the rapture may not be the way we picture it out to be, but he says, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now, however that's going to be, we'll find out. He tells us in Romans 11, chapter 11, verse 22, it's all going to happen when God is done to the Gentiles when they're done with Him. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Get on to verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Okay, so we're not going to have to go through the tribulation, folks, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Okay? Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. I'll tell you, it's pretty tough to edify with people who are as worldly as they'll get out and claim to be Paul. Well, Paul, how do you handle that? Paul says, avoid them. Anytime we're in a situation that is just very stressful, chances are Paul said, what are you doing in that situation in the first place? You go with a guy to a bar, you're not going to drink. And you get there, and you're harassed, and you're teased, and the whole thing about being a Christian. No, you shouldn't have gone to the bar. That's all. It's simple. You have a lousy marriage. Started off, well, why? Maybe you shouldn't have gotten married. Your children the way they are, 10 years, 20, 30 years later. Why? Did you look back and see what happened the first 10 years of their life? Paul tells us that we have to reap what we sowed. So yes, we're in this dispensation of grace. But I'll tell you, there's, like I said, there's warnings, there's all sorts of things, and there's also reapings. Now he says in First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, we did that one. Look at verse 17. Pray without ceasing, he says. Pray without ceasing. Now some of you are probably new enough to our website here, that's what we're doing here. Do you know what Paul's prayers are? Boy, I am not saying repeat them. I'm not doing that. What's that one in the Old Testament? Jacob? No. Who's that prayer that you're supposed to repeat over and over and over, and it'll bless your family? I can't think of it. Jabez, prayer of Jabez. There you go. You pray that prayer, and God will bless. Oh, come on. But to study Paul's prayers, which I'll talk about pretty soon, is one of my foreign words to modern Christianity, because the prayer life of Paul tells us not only what we should be praying for, but what we should be seeking as a Christian. Talk about that later. So Paul tells us to pray during these times. Let's look at Colossians 1:26. Look what Colossians 1:26 says. Colossians. Colossians 1:26. How do we handle things today? Just remember what we're living in. We're living in the dispensation of grace, and we're living in a time where the mystery that Paul's talking about has been revealed. Verse 26, chapter 1. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. We're living in the time where that mystery was made manifest. That should be exciting to some folks. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. So how do we live in this time, according to Paul? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Just remember now, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ during this time today. Let things go the way they're going to go. We're nigh unto Jesus Christ, nigh unto God through Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. 1, 2, 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Isn't this exciting that we're living in a time when everything is falling apart, and yet anything we do that wasn't right according to God, which is going to pile up these days, we're not accountable for it. It's not imputed. So how do we handle today? Remember the doctrine that Paul has taught to us. And then try to get out there and change your life during all this hassle. Try to dress right. Try to do the right thing at work, men. Try to do the right thing for your family. Try to do the right thing for yourself and God. Try to do what Paul says to Titus. Try to do those things. It isn't going to be easy, because they're living in a time where nobody cares. And they're actually mad at you for it, because they're falling away. Listen, these people don't even care about their NIV Bible. They haul them around, but they let their pastor teach out of it. NIV, ASV, RSV, TIV, all sorts of different Bibles. You've got a King James Bible. You've got the book that will tell you what's going on every day. And this thing was written 400 years ago. Look at Romans 16. We're living in a time where Romans 16, verse 25... that this whole the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery is now made manifest, just like I said earlier. So we need to follow my gospel. That's Paul's gospel. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Romans 7, 6. We are delivered from the law, that being dead when we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit. We've been delivered from the law. What a thing. I'm going to Acts 17 for some reason. I don't recall that one. Acts 17. No, I don't know. Acts 25. I thought that was a music verse. It is. It talks about false worship. We're living in a day when people are worshiping God wrong. He says in Acts 17, 25, 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. seeing He gave us all life and breath and all things. You find out from your scriptures that the people are worshiping wrong. You don't go to church, come to my church and worship with us. That's bogus. That's setting people up for worshiping the beast, which is what will have to happen. And we know the number's got to be 666. Do you know, I think I mentioned this last week, that the number, the letters WWW on a computer are 666? Do you know that the New King James Bible has the symbol for 666 on the outside binding of the Bible? Isn't that wild? And we're just oblivious to all what's going on. But if you're not oblivious to it, here's one more. Look at Acts 23. Acts 23. What are we living in? What kind of days are we living in? We're living in the days where people don't care about God. They think they've got their own. They think God gives them grace. They can do anything they want. The description goes on and on and on. The best description is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But here's something else I want people to realize. Acts 23, verse 12. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. That conspiracy continues to this day. It is there are people that go on the internet, they look for Paul's sites, they look for Paul people, they're looking to destroy the Paul's teachings. That's the day we're living in. So how do we handle this stuff? We take heed. We believe what Paul says. We trust him to be telling us the truth. All of Paul's books ought to be red letter editions, just like the Gospels are red letter. Why? Because Jesus Christ spoke those words to Paul. And then to us. We should know where to go to find Paul only. And I mean Paul only. We should be able to learn from him in these days. We should be able to study his works. We should be wanting to study his writings. We should want to hear preaching about what it teaches about Paul. We should want to get into that book and find out what marvelous blessings God has put upon us because we follow the risen Savior through Paul. Spiritual blessings, of course. Understand the dispensation we're living in. We're not living in the gospel times. We're not living in the Old Testament times. We're not living when we have to build a boat. We're not living in the tribulation. Let's understand grace. Let's understand what it means that all things are lawful. Let's understand spiritual blessings. Let's understand what it means to still avoid, have no company. Listen to his warnings. We still can get hammered during this time. Not by God. But the world can still kick us around. We're to follow him only. Just Paul. We're not to be ashamed of Paul. We're to accept the consequences, good and bad, for what it is to be following Paul's teachings and Paul. And then lastly, we should know how to live in these days based on what Paul has to teach. And like I said, there's scriptures galore on the sides on this thing for the rest of the sermon here. But we're living in the worst possible time, but yet the greatest possible time, where faith in Jesus Christ gives you the faith of Jesus Christ. Our faith in Christ gives us the faith of Christ. Hope I said that right. We're living in a time where our righteousness isn't anything, really, until we get saved, and then we learn that our righteousness has to be His righteousness if we do the right thing. Then we can please God. We're living in a day where grace is there. We don't have to wait for it at the end like it says in Peter. It's there right now. We have it. It's already imputed to us. We live in a time, the only time that our soul is cut away from the flesh. Otherwise, in the tribulation, God has to put the Spirit of God upon their flesh so they can actually do right. We're living in the only time where we don't have to do right to be Christians, to be saved. We live in a time where we're told how safe we are. Then he says, listen, here's the reasonable thing, he says in Romans 12. At least you can give yourself to the Lord. You can at least, he says in Romans 12 here, it'll be done here, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That means in our physical bodies, we should be doing the right thing. As best as we can. We fight the flesh all the time. It's still there. He says, and be not conformed to this world. How much of the world have we all conformed to in the last year? Last 2 years? The last 3 years? If anybody in the website out there that's hearing this for the first or one of the recent times out there, what have you got in you that you're going to want to give up? Don't have to give it up, but you're going to want to because it doesn't please God. Music, worship, what you're doing. I mean, the list can go on. Are you ready to be what it takes to be the Christian in this falling away time? You know what it is? Most people are so far deep in debt, they can't do the right thing. They just can't. I mean, they're not capable because they're so in debt that, what does it say? The borrower is how does that go? Borrower is something to the servant. I forget how that goes. That's so terrible. I got such a lousy memory. Now I got to look it up really quick here. Somebody's going to beat me to it, I'll bet you. No, it doesn't say slave, I don't think. Just the borrower was a servant to the lender. Servant, yeah. The whoever we borrow the money from, they own us. Just like America, China owns America. If people ever realize that, it's just amazing. Yeah, it's servant. There's no slave in the King James Bible. That's a modern. It's one of those things you got to learn, unlearn, and go the right word. Okay, there you go, folks. I'll put the notes out there. You can do what you want with them. I encourage you to believe what Paul says. Trust him. Look for him only. Learn from him. Study his stuff. Understand the dispensation we're living in. Follow him and him only. And be not ashamed of it, of him. And it's going to get rough, but it's a blessing time. And don't worry about what's going on out there. This is the falling away. It's supposed to happen. And Paul tells us how to get through it. There you go. All done, folks. Good night. There's your stuff. I need to settle down and hope my night goes better. And same thing with you. And there you are.